Ready.
And Parshat Bahar Bechukotai, end of Sefer Vayikra, and I acknowledge most of this is based on a shir by Elchanan Samet, who's at the Gush. So just be different. We're not going to start talking about the Parsha yet. We're going to go back to Parsha Yitro, because anyway, Shavuot's right around the corner. So this will be kind of introduction to Shavuot. Mamon Har Sinai.
Okay, that's always good.
So I'm going to start with the Hashem bring Hashem, everyone comes to Har Sinai. Hashem introduced the idea of what's going to happen with this idea of a brit, covenant, agreement, a contract, let's call it. And source one, in the third month since Bnei Israel leave, that's Chodesh Sivan, on that day, meaning on Rosh Chodesh, Ba'omid Bar Sinai, they come to the wilderness around Sinai, and Hashem tells Moshe, if you listen to my voice and you keep my brit, and you will be a treasure from all the nations, even though the entire earth is mine. Attempt you leave kadosh, and you will be a nation of priests, a holy nation. This is what you're going to tell Bnei Israel. And then Moshe goes down, and then the people all answer as one. Whatever God says, we will do. So this is not Naaseh v'nishma.
Oh, this isn't that.
This is not Naaseh v'nishma. So if you look
Right.
at the story, there are three Naasehs, the last of which climaxes with Naaseh. So Moshe goes back up. Those 6 days before Mar Sinai, Moshe's going back up and down. There's this dialogue about what Mamar Hasin is going to mean. But later, and reading it like Rashi, this is basically day four of the six. He comes down, and then, but as part of the ceremony of a brit, where he has sacrifices, he's bringing the blood of the people, Vayikach Sefer HaBrit, he takes the book of the covenant, it's written down. Vayikra Ba'ezeham, he reads it to the people. Vayamru, and the people say, Kol Asher Dibrei Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. That's Naaseh v'nishma, in response to the Sefer HaBrit. The question is, what is the Sefer HaBrit? What is he reading to them? A lot of opinions. You look at the Sifra on that, a lot of different opinions. And the Mefarshim, Rashi says it's basically Sefer Bereshit. Ramban says, no, it's Mishpatim. But there's a hint there that we're going to go there, because there's a text later that calls itself a Brit. You said you'll be here in 10 minutes. Okay. And it fits this model of what we call a covenant, a contract. It lists the expected duties, what everyone's going to do, explicit payments for compliance, penalty for non-compliance. It's all very legal. And that is the brit that's listed at the end of Sefer Devarim. We call it Tochacha, Parsha Ki Tavo, which starts out, Vayayim Shemo Im. If you listen to the voice of God, and you do all these mitzvot, because Sefer Devarim is full of mitzvot, that I am commanding you today, and you will be master of all the nations of the world, and it goes on for many psukim. Actually, I take a ellipses in there. Uh-oh. Why is it not being saved? Hold on, let's go here. There we go. Okay. Okay, and then so first clause, if you listen, and then if you don't listen, if you don't listen to all the clause, that I command you, and then all these curses will come upon you, and they will overtake you, and then there's a long list of curses. Okay, if you fulfill it, good things happen. If you don't fulfill it, bad things happen. That's what a brit is, and it says explicitly at the end. This is the words of the Brit Asher Tziva Hashem Moshe Lechrot B'nei Israel Be'eretz Moab. Like Hashem commanded Moshe to sign with B'nei Israel in Moab. This is the end of the 40 years. Milvada Brit Asher Karat Itam B'choreb. Besides the Brit that they signed back at Sinai. So it's telling us there was something similar to this that happened at Sinai. What's the Brit? So this here in the Devarim is not our Sefer Brit, right? This is 4 years later. But what was the Brit Asher Karati Itam B'choreb? There's something similar. So the parallel to this text that was 40 years earlier, that's in our Parsha. The end of our Parsha is all a list of laws, then a list of rewards if you do it, punishments if you don't. That's what Brit is. Parsha Bahar B'chu Atai starts off, source 4, Vayiber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemar, Hashem showed both to Moshe at Har Sinai and said, Dabrel B'nei Israel, Martelahem, Kitavo Arts, when you come to the land, Asher Nino Ten Lachem, Shabta Arts, Shabbat Lashem, there will be a law of Shemitah, and we have laws of Bahar, Shemitah, and Yovel, and Geula. And then, Im Bechokotai Telechu, if you fulfill the commandments, that Mesvotai Tishmeru, keep my laws, Vasitimatam, you do them, and then a list of rewards. And then, if you don't listen, you don't do these commandments, then the list of punishments. It doesn't use the term Brit here, but clearly that's what it is. And it ends with, these are the laws, the procedures, that God gave b'nei Israel, between God and b'nei Israel, b'har Sinai, at Har Sinai, via Moshe, in the hands of Moshe. So it's not called Sefer Brit, but it makes sense to say that this is the Brit that we're talking about.
I'm not so sure, because the Brit is two-sided.
Right.
You need the agreement from Israel to make it a Brit.
Okay, so that they do that, and they say, V'yikach Sefer Brit, V'yikrav Ezeham, V'yimru kol asher adibar Hashem na'aseh v'nishma.
But is that referring to the list of rewards of punishment?
So that's the question, what is Sefer Brit? So the argument, at least, we'll quote the Chizkuni, that it's written at the end, that the Sefer HaBrit is, in fact, what was written at the end of Sefer Vayikra Bahar B'chukotai. This is the Sefer that Rav Moshe read to the people, says, these are the laws. If you fulfill that, then God will do this for you. And if you
that's
don't...
That's not a Brit, yeah.
What is that? Why is that a Brit?
It's one side of the Brit.
What do you mean?
It's not a Sefer Brit. It's a offer for a Brit.
When Hashem says this, the people say yes, both of them.
When the people say yes, it becomes a Brit.
Okay, so that's a Sefer HaBrit. And Moshe reads it to them, and they agree to it. Isn't that what a Brit is? Not sure what you're
objecting. Yeah, but it's like calling it Sefer HaBrit. It seems like you're calling it Sefer HaBrit before it becomes a Brit.
Okay, that's you write down a contract and then you sign it afterwards. It's a contract beforehand, just not signed. I'm not sure if that still would be the text of the Brit.
Okay, all right.
Right? I mean,
I'm just bothered that the Torah knows how to call something a Brit. And if it doesn't call that a Brit, to say, well, that's the Brit, I don't know.
Okay.
I think the interesting thing is that you have several parts in the times in the Torah where there's sort of a new covenant. You know, there's different times.
Right. We have the Brit with Abraham.
What happened to the original? Yeah, the covenant with Abraham. Then you have the covenant, you know, at Sinai. Okay, now you get into this in Vayikra. And then there's other times also, I think.
Right. So the Brit with Abraham still exists.
Here you have another one. So does this do anything to the first one? I mean, what's the story? I mean,
so this is the first one. That's the argument, that this is the first one with B'nai Israel as a whole.
Ah.
Yeah, the Brit Avot, which is the Brit, right? And you have Brit Noah, which has unconditions.
Yeah.
You have Brit Abraham, which is Brit Mila.
Yeah.
which always still exists. This is the Brit with Bnei Israel. This is what Mar HaSinai is. And Kabbalah Torah is the accepting of the Na'aseh of Nishma, right? Saying, okay, we agreed. And then that ceremony is recreated in Moab 40 years later when they're about to enter Israel. And it's recreated again in Sefer Yeshua, at the end of Sefer Yeshua as well. It's not a new Brit. It's renewal of the vows.
Okay.
Okay.
Not clear, but again, there's argument about what counts as a Brit, but this is the argument. This is the Chizkuni would say it when he's talking, when he takes, when he says, Vaykak Sefer Brit, which is it? And he says, Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah. Okay? Is that this is listed here, but you know, at the end of Vayikra, but really, it's an appendix, you know. They read the Sefer Brit, footnote, see Appendix A, which is the actual text of the agreement, because you don't want to read that in the middle of the novel. That just takes up too much space. We can read it afterwards. This is the Tochachot, the Parsha Bukhu Kota, is our Parsha. Idem Mechilta, as we will quote the Mechilta, where it says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, B'techilat Inyan Ma'omer, B'shav Ta'aretz, that beginning of this, the Brit, it says, B'shav Ta'aretz, the land will rest, it's the laws of Shemitah, then Bahar, and Shemitim Yovlo, Brachot Kolot, it says the laws of Shemitah, Yovel, and then all the brachot, and then all kolot. Those are the terms of the Brit. So if Irma Omer Elachu Kimish Batim Batarov, then it ends with that. That's the Sefer Brit. And what happened at that point? Describing Amru, Bnei Yisrael said Mekablu Anu Aleinu, and they said, as the Midrash reconstructs it, they said, "We'll do it. We will accept this Brit that you've just brought to us." And this is before Matan Torah. Kevan Shirasha Kiblo Lehem. Once Moshe saw that they had signed the Brit, they'd accepted the terms that were proposed to them. Natalat Adam Zarak Al Am, he took the blood and the ceremony of the actual Brit ceremony with the sacrifices and the blood. Then, as I said, Vaykach Moshe at Adam, Vayzrok Al Am, and he took the blood and he's sprinkled on the people. Marlahem, Hare Atem Tosim Koshrim Vanuvim. Now you are bound, tied, and Anuv is you're dependent. You've now committed. Machar ba'o kiblu alakem kol mitzvot. Tomorrow, we got the real Matan Torah. This was just a sample of mitzvot here. We got 613 yet to come. That's Matan Torah. And they said na'aseh v'nishma, which we usually read as we will do and we will commit to learning later. The whole we'll commit early. It says no. Na'aseh masha katuv kan. They were saying, we'll do what's written now, but od nishma. You tell us about your terror, and we will still listen if Hashem gives us more commandments. That's what Na'aseh v'nishma is, according to this reading.
Yeah. That's
so then the problem is, if that, and I think that fits of all the ways of understanding the Brit, they think this counts. I know you don't like the fact that it's not called a Brit, but this is, it fits in the model here, and it says it's Bahar Sinai, but the problem is, if Ein Mukdam Mukhar B'Torah, then why put it here? We don't arbitrarily mess up the chronology. There's got to be some reason. Okay, it's many parashat after Parashat Yitro. The Rashi says, but in the beginning, right? Ma inyan Shmita Etzel Har Sinai. What's Har Sinai? Here the mitzvot. We're assuming that it says Har Sinai because this was part of Har Sinai. But Ma inyan Har Sinai Etzel Sefer Vayikra. Why is Bahar here? At the end of Sefer Vayikra. Vayikra starts with the commandments given in the Ol Moed, and we never see Har Sinai again. Somehow we come back to it. So that's what I want to look at. We're going to work from the assumption that this is, in fact, the Brit Sinai, the Sefer Brit there, but it's written here at the end of Sefer Vayikra. I think the answer is, and understand the structure of this Brit. Read Sefer. Read Parshat Bahar and Bukhukai together. Looking at the structure of it, if you land it, it's really long. So if you look at it, it goes, there are seven paragraphs and 57 psukim of laws. Again, Yovel, Shemitah, redeeming the land that was sold, redeeming slaves. In one paragraph with 13 psukim of brachot, if you listen, imbukhutai telechu, then good things happen. Then two paragraphs, which add up to 33 psukim of klolot. If you don't listen, then these terrible things will happen. And we often say that Tanakh doesn't really believe in positive reinforcement. A lot more negative of bad things than there are the good things. 33 as opposed to 13 psukim in terms of the penalties. So Ibn Ezra says, and this is expanded by Naftali, it's Naftali Weizel in Hebrew, who was one late 18th century, when a contributor to the Biur, says that we're looking at it wrong. And the Ibn Ezra says the only way only Ibn Ezra can say, he says, Vereke Moach, and empty-headed people, stupid people think, Amrukia klalot rabot me brachot, that there are more curses than blessings in here. Now you look at it, well, 33 psukim, it's really long and it's really short for the brachot. So that's really stupid. That's Reke Moach. Lo Amru Amet, then they're wrong. Rak Nemra, they're really the same number there. Rak Nemra habrachot bichlal, that we just have more general blessings, v'nemru b'kol pratim, and the curses are all very, very detailed. Yirah lafchid, because they serve to intimidate, to make people afraid. We want that kind of negative reinforcement. Vashamim, v'mistakel heitev, if you look at it carefully, yitbarer lo devarai, they'll understand what I'm saying here, that really these two halves are balanced, even though they don't look that way. I need to keep editing here. Oops. And this is the way Weizel puts it. V'yotemri Masha Amar Ibn Ezra, Avram Ibn Ezra, Aniyamir. So I say even more than that. It's not just that they're equal. She'abrachot rabot mechlot. There's more bracha than klala. If I look at it, if I really understand what it's saying. If you understand what I'm saying, the way the division of the cycle of the brachot and klalot here, you'll understand that the fact that it goes through so many psukim of klalot of curses, that's because Hashem had pity on the people. It's a bracha that there's so many klalot. Why? Because if you actually read it, it's not, if you don't listen to me, then all these terrible 33 psukim are going to happen, bad things will happen, that there are five separate cycles of, if you don't listen, then this will happen. Okay, it's imbachotai timasu, you reject my laws, and despise my commandments, etc. Pasuk tefa, then some bad things happen. Pasuk yudcha. If you still don't listen to me, then I will add another seven times. Hi, Davida. Hi, Noah. Talking about the klalot and parak b'chutai, the tochacha. And then, im tachumi keri, if you treat me casually, don't take me seriously. Lo tavo l'shmali, you don't want to listen to me. V'yasafti alechem, and I'll add another makah sheva b'chadachem, another seven times, lots more punishments. In be'ela lo tivasruli, and if you still don't do it, malakdim carry treat me casually, more punishments. That's the fourth, and then there's a paragraph break, and then even b'zol lo tishmali, malakdim imi b'carry. If you treat me again, if you treat me casually, you don't take this seriously. Another cycle. So it says the fact that it's these five times, if you don't listen, then I'll do more. If you don't listen, I'll do more, is a sign of Hashem's patience. Sherei b'brachot, it says, and with the brachot, hiftiach, Hashem promises, she'em yilchu b'chukotav, if we listen to the commandments, yasigum miyad, sidrei brachot, then all these brachot will happen immediately. Goloma ad b'lidai, will have this infinite bracha. So if you reject the commandments, lafer brito, and void this covenant, then by parallel, the punishment should happen immediately. But if we look at the structure of the text, it teaches us, that even if they despise the commandments, they reject the covenant, These curses will not come all at once. That first they'll have the sort of the initial cycle that's a little bit lighter. Layashuv will give them a chance to do tshuva. If they don't go improve, Yishlach they'll have another cycle. The next cycle of do b'mardam, etc. And only in b'chol zot, and that's why it's a separate paragraph on the last cycle. In b'chol zot lo yeshuva, if they still don't listen after all of these, as his gimme klala gadola, ad le'en marpeh, then the final punishment will happen. Something that there was from which there is no recovery. So this length, these 33 psukim, really represent kind of Hashem's patience. Not that they're such terrible klolot all at once, but that okay, you'll have these little ones one bit at a time. This is the five klolot that is its own private. That's the really the horrific one. That's the achaltem b'sar b'neichem. And you're gonna die, you'll fall dead on your idols, you'll consume your own children. It ends with the exile of Ezer, and the despair of Radaf Kol Alei Daf. You'll be driven by the you'll run from the sound of a driven leaf, assuming this, and you will run as though pursued by the sword, and a flu, and you'll die the inner leaf without anyone chasing. And then actually Rav Samet makes the greater point that the first four cycles, if you look at the wording there, aren't so much curses as a more removal of bracha. Bracha is you'll have crops, and the curse is you won't have such good crops. You won't have crops, you'll lose all the things that you would have the bracha.
Where's that pasuk from about Viradafa Temko?
That is it, that's the end of the
It's
Tochacha.
in Vayikra?
Yeah,
Okay.
we'll put that there. So it's different from that book about as a driven leaf.
Right. I was, that's
Right,
what
right.
caught.
He gets the phrase from that, but as a driven leaf means the Elisha Barbua is like the leaf blown around. The pasuk says that you're going to be panicked. You will run away from the sound of a blowing leaf without being chased. But he gets that expression from here. So Hashem is saying that, well, that if you do the mitzvot, you'll get bracha. If you have the mitzvot, you'll lose the bracha. You'll still be in the land. You'll be at the ahatimekam carry. I'll leave you at the mercy of random fate. Things will just happen. It's only if you still continue after all these cycles of kolot at the end of it, then we end up in the point of Achlub b'sar b'nechem, and as a rebbe goyim of exile, will lose the land. And at the end of
I'm
the,
ashamed to say that I don't know that phrase, the halachtem iti bekeri.
it comes up a lot over and over again here. The keri in the sense of mikra, our scroll translates as casually. You're not going to take this seriously, and you're going to look at what's happening as being coincidence. It's all in mikra. There's no and din ben dayan.
So that's bad.
Yes, that's bad. That's the that's why it's in if you don't do this and you halak mikari, then bad things happen. If you continue to do this and halak mikari, then eventually at the point where Hashem says, I'm gonna go with you, bikari. I'm gonna treat you randomly. I'm gonna take away my providence.
V'halachtem imi bekeri.
Yes. Pay attention to the parasha, and it comes up again. And then the end of the final paragraph, after the klolot, is kind of confusing because it's a mix of tshuva and it appears to be more punishment. And so that's the end of the tochacha v'nisharim b'chem, and those who are left among you, yimaku ba'avonam, will be struck by their sins, be'eretz oyveichem, in the land of their enemies, af ba'avonat avotam itam yimaku, and they'll be struck by the because of the sins of their ancestors too. It'll all pile up on them. But b'vadur avonam, and they will confess their sins. But avon avotam, and the sins of their fathers. We always say that avonachnu v'avotenu chatanu. Because yes, you have to deal with the consequences of what our ancestors did too, as well. Malam asher malu bi, when they betrayed me. At some point, they will do have vidoy. They will start the tshuva process. And they will, part of their vidoy is they will admit that they treat me casually. They did not take this seriously. Over and over again. Here. Afani alech imam bekeri, and I will still go act with them bekeri casually, not take them seriously. And I will bring them into the land of their enemies. Oh, or az yichana, then they will have achanal b'avam harel, that they will have humbled their seal, their uncircumcised, their unfeeling heart. But az yirtzu adabanam, and then their sins will be appeased. So David Tzvi says that this af ani alechem bekeri is not, well, once they confess that I'm going to still punish them, the alechem bekeri, but this is all their vidoy. That they're going to say, they will realize that they sinned, B'nai Yisrael will realize that they sinned, and then af asher haluchim bekeri, part of the vidoy is realizing, okay, we didn't take the brit seriously, we didn't listen to it, treated it casually, and avani elech imam bekeri, and I will elech in the sense of I would treat them casually, that all these punishments that were leading up to the final punishment was Hashem's, not so much punishing, but withdrawing the brachot, leaving them into the state of nature.
What is Yirtzu et Avonam?
In the sense of that they will be forgiven, that they will find favor with their sins will now be finding favor with Hashem, that they will be, Hashem will be appeased.
Oh.
Okay. Let's see how Safaria translates it. That's way down here. Here we go. He's trying to say they make amends for their sin.
They will make amends for their sins. Okay.
Yeah.
Funny, no? It's a funny.
It is, but I mean, it's clear in context. That's what it means. That the Avonam will end up with a state of it will end up in a state of son. And then same thing, that Hevetia Tab Erz Avihem is not that this will happen after the Vidoy, but part of the Vidoy is that they will realize that the fact that they are the Erz Avihem that they were brought was part of the punishment. That's part of the Vidoy. And they will say, oh, or meaning that they will realize that they have a choice between either this punishment, the exile, or they can be Yechnal Avavam, they can humble themselves. And then they will end up the state of Yitzhak Avonam. They will make amends. So this is all the vidoy. This is all doing the. This is all. Once they've gotten to the point of exile, they will admit they were wrong, and then Hashem will bring the process of bringing them back. Okay, admit they're wrong, that God, I call it, treat them randomly, and then God exiled them, and they will have a choice. They either remain Eretz Avihem or Yichanal Avavam. And then it ends with Hashem will declare the Brit was never nullified. Okay? Part of the Brit was the fact that if you don't listen to the laws, then you have to pay the penalty. But the Brit's still enforced. The terms of the penalties for non-compliance were fulfilled. Contract's still enforced. And they can still return, and Hashem will say, "Zakarti briti Yaakov, briti Yitzchak, briti Abraham Eskar." I will remember the brit again. This is brit avod, even before this, that I promised them the land. But ours is called, I remember the land, and I will bring them back to it. So and so that they need to realize that even when they were land their enemies, lo mastim, I didn't reject them, lo gaalti lechalotam, and I didn't. Wasn't so disgusted with them that I would wipe them out, la fair brititam, and completely nullify this brit. Kini Hashem kehem, I am their God. So I remember this original brit after all the exile. My brother out of Egypt, to be their God, Ani Hashem. And that's the end. So the structure of the whole Klalot section, we have a section of warning, basically, removing the brachot. And the actual Klalot are Psukim Chav Zayin Lamed Tet. And that's the 13 Psukim total, which is exactly equal to the number of the brachot. More Klalot, really, in terms of the Klalot brachot, are balanced here. And they end with Vavaratem, Vavaratam, they will be lost, Vachleotam, Vagoyim. And I will, literally, I will end them in the Be'eretz, Etchem, Be'eretz, Oy Be'chem. They will end up in the land of the enemies. That's the final punishment, all that's leading that to the Galut. So the Brit written simply is keep the laws and you get to keep the land. Violate the laws and you go to exile. That's the Sefer Brit in one line. Everything leading to that.
But Danny, we did go into exile.
Yeah, you noticed that, huh? Because we violated all the laws.
So I'm just saying, like, that's why you have these other religions, because they consider that the Brit was broken.
Right. So he's ending Hashem. So Moshe is ending the point with the Brit that's not breaking the Brit. That's part of the deal, right? You do it. You pay the penalty, but the Brit is still in force. We don't believe that the Brit's over. Okay, they can believe that.
No, but I'm saying so. Our belief is that okay, we make mistakes, but it's never over.
Right.
Hashem's still waiting for us.
That's right. Well, you're in Eretz Yisrael right now. Arguably, you know, we've restarted the positive terms of the Brits. Hopefully, we get to keep.
Oh, definitely.
Okay. And that's what it says. You know, it says in the beginning of the parasha, you should do my statutes, my commandments. You'll do them. And then you will live in the land forever. This breed is about Eretz Yisrael. And these laws are Shemitah, Yovel, but redeeming land, and so redeeming the slaves. So the message of the breed is that the land belongs to Hashem, and we also belong to Hashem. Right? Again, this is from the beginning of the parasha. The earth lo timacher litzmitut, that the land cannot be sold in eternity. Ki li haaretz, because the land belongs to me, Hashem says. This breed is not between equals. It's between the ruler and the subjects. I own the land. I consider you strangers. I'll let you stay here on my terms. And similarly, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim, because b'nei Yisrael are my slaves. I took them out of Egypt. They're mine. Avadai hem. Asher tzeiti yotam yasa shrayim. I took them out. I own them. Ani Hashem lekeichem. I am their God. So the Sefer HaBrit basically just the lease. It's a contract for the lease on Eretz Yisrael. Then b'nei Yisrael accepted it with Nasa Nishma. Then Hashem will go give the rest of the Torah. And they can become what the original plan would become a Melech HaKohanim Goy Kadosh in that land. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Brit, the whole structure of Bahar B'Kul Kodesh looks like. So then going back to our question of why recorded here. Why at the end of Sefer Vayikra? Because it's the end of Sefer Vayikra, because we're going right now into Sefer Bamidbar when they actually enter the land. This is the introduction to Sefer Bamidbar. All those laws that we've had between Parsha Yitro and now, about the Mishkan, all the Karbanot, Kedusha, all that, they're important, but they're a distraction. It was necessary to give them to Bnei Israel in the wilderness after Cheta Egel, because they were stuck there for however long, and then end up another 40 years afterwards. But they could have been given later in Eretz Israel. All they needed to enter the land was this brit. So we really should have gone straight from Yitro to here Bar Har Pukhotai and then straight into Sefer Bamidbar. So now we're basically restarting the story. This is the point where we get to go in and they'll all enter triumphantly into the promised land and everything be wonderful. So of course we know that's not how Bamidbar works out, but at least that's the plan sort of at this point in the narrative. We've got the Mishkan built, ready to go back in. Here's the text of the text of the agreement, and they enter Eretz Yisrael.
But that didn't happen.
That did not happen because we almost get there until Parsha Balotcha, and then things start to fall apart again, and we have 4 years later, and so we end up reenacting the Brit. Same, it hasn't changed. They didn't, you know, but just reminding everyone of it at the end of Sefer Parshat Avera Sefer Devarim, which is a Tocha Arba Moav. You know, that's what it says. Milvada Brit Asher Krati Tam Bechare.
So that later breach is supposed to be like the parallel to this one, meaning we tried this one, then we were supposed to go into land that didn't work, so now we're going to do.
Right. So it's not that didn't work. It's the same one. It's the same Brit, has the same terms in it. We're just going to read it to you again, and you need to really accept it again. We want you to, you know, it's a new generation. We want you, the new generation, to be signing this contract. The old ones didn't. The old generation didn't make it. So, I will end there.